Genesis through Revelation, message number 7. We pick it up in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 10, and he said, this is God speaking to Cain after Cain killed his brother Abel. God, as we saw last time, tried to get Cain to confess. He asked him where his brother was, and rather than confessing, he lied, and he also smarted off to the Lord. So God follows that up in verse 10 by saying, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. God gave Cain plenty of opportunities to repent, but Cain wasn't interested. Like I said, instead of confessing, he sassed. And as a result, God pronounced judgment. Don't ever think that God's patience towards sinners means that he is soft on sin, because he is not. Cain could tell you all about that. So could the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee its strength. A fugitive and a wanderer shall thou be in the earth. And so the curse on Cain was the curse on Adam, only amplified. It would be hard work for Adam to get food to grow. It wouldn't grow at all for Cain. Adam was kicked out of paradise. Cain would wander. He wouldn't have a home. Cain's sin was worse. And, you know, he knew what sin did to his parents. He had seen that. So he had more spiritual light, therefore his punishment was more severe than his parents. To whom much is given, much is expected, the Bible says. 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know, Cain is really the epitome of self-centeredness. He rejects God's efforts to keep him from sin in the first place. Then he rejects God's effort at reconciliation, so he's being punished. And now he complains that God is being unfair in his punishment. What a loser Cain is. Instead of worrying about how unfair life is and how bad he has it, he should be broken over what he has done to God, to his father, to his mother, and to Abel, his brother. But he's not even thinking about them. He's just thinking about himself. He's thinking about, poor me, I'm being punished for my sin, rather than poor God, poor mom, poor dad, poor Abel, who my sin really affected terribly. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hidden. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer in the earth, and it shall come to pass that any one that findeth me shall slay me. And I would say, Cain, your sin has driven you mad. His thinking is really out of control here. His guilt has led to paranoia. Goes along with what the Bible says. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no one is chasing. It's so much better to live for God than to sin and live in fear of being caught. Guilt, panic, and paranoia. Now you've made a wonderful life for yourself, Cain. Should have listened to God. Anytime you and I sin, we can say the same thing, though. Should have listened to God. And we know that's true if we're Christian. Should have listened to God. Oh, we confess, he forgives. But sometimes it's hard for us to forget. And sometimes it's hard for us to have peace. And I suppose that's a lack of faith, because God says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And yet sin does leave a mark on our soul. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I think God wins the gold medal for grace and mercy, hands down. He protects Cain from vigilantes here. He protects Cain, even though Cain sinned, Cain smarted off, and Cain never did confess his sin. He never did. At least the Bible doesn't record that he ever did. Never confessed, never repented, never was forgiven, as far as we know. And yet God graciously protects him from vigilantes. 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Well, Cain got exactly what he wanted. He didn't want God in his life, and so God gave him exactly what he wanted. He lived without God. He evidently died without God. And so for at least 6,000 years, he has been burning in hell without any comfort from God, without any hope from God. See, God doesn't force himself on anyone. 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begot Mahuthajel. And Mahuthajel begot Methushael. And Methushael begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah. The name of the other, Zilhah. And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and the pipe. And Zilhah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Cain's descendants were just like Cain. They were totally secular. Did you notice there's absolutely no mention of God or the worship of God among any of Cain's descendants listed here? They filled their lives with things. They filled their lives with their work and with entertainment. But there isn't anything that remotely suggests that they were interested in God. Now, there isn't anything wrong with entertainment and work, but they do become a problem when they are your whole life, even to the exclusion of God. Verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zilhah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man who wounded me. There's another problem. Cain's offspring, Lamech, had two wives. God never said that was okay. In fact, he made it clear back in chapter 2, verse 24, that it's supposed to be one man, one woman, and that's it. But did you catch what happened? He said, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto me, for I have slain a man who wounded me, and a young man for hurting me. You see, when you have a secular society like Cain's, you can throw justice right out the window. If Jesus isn't Lord in a nation, then there will be either a liberal leniency where criminals aren't punished the way they should be, or they will be punished beyond what their crime deserves. And that's what's happening here. Lamech killed a young man for what? For striking him. That's not justice. That's not self-defense. that is excessive force. You say, well, maybe it was accidental. No, he's boasting about it. 24. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. In other words, it's okay for me to do what I did, but no one better try to get revenge against me. He says, God promised to avenge the death of Cain. If anyone tried to kill him, well, I'll outdo God. If anyone tries to hurt me, I'll retaliate 490 times. How do you like that? This is just vigilantism, basically. It's not justice. It's not order. It's not righteous. But what would you expect from a society that excludes God? Why do you think there's so much trouble in the United States of America these days? A lot more than there was when I was a kid. Why? Because we've done everything we possibly could to exclude God. And this is what we get. You better believe it. 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth. For God said he, said she, I should say, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So the world was going downhill very quickly with Cain and his descendants, spiritually speaking. But in the middle of that secular society, God did have a remnant of people who lived for him and worshiped him. Seth replaced Abel as the godly son of Adam and Eve. And the line of Christ our Lord can be traced from Seth through the pages of Scripture right down to Joseph and Mary. I'm not kidding. You can start right here and draw a red line. You can trace the lineage of Jesus from Seth all the way through the Bible, every book of the Old Testament, till you come to Jesus, Joseph, of course, the Holy Spirit who conceived, who fathered Jesus in the womb of Mary, and Jesus. It's all right here. The Old Testament points to Jesus, doesn't it? Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. God created man in his image. That means, as I said earlier, like God, man was sinless. Like God, man was intelligent. And like God, man was a free-willed moral being. Verse 2. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. The next time someone says it's unfair to women to call the human race mankind, or to refer to us as man, tell them take it up with God, would you? Don't bother me. Don't complain to me. Go complain to God. Of course, I wouldn't suggest that you complain to God. That's a sin, but you got a beef, I'd tell him about it. You know, some of the new Bible translations even eliminate the word man when describing the human race. They have more guts than I do. After all, God is the one who named the human race what? What does it say here? Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam, which means man. Verse 2, well, you know what? This might be a good place to stop because we're going to get into a long genealogy beginning in verse 3, and that will continue on down pretty much through the end of this chapter. We'll break in and look at a few of these verses, but let's pick it up in chapter 5, verse 3 next time.